Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it is, as always, my pleasure to be with you, to be leading us through this time of worship today. You notice we have some special decorations up here this morning. It is so thankful to have these. We're going to be talking about them a little bit later, and I'm just going to tell you, no, the choir's not behind it. I told you to build a wall to block them out. We don't have a choir behind us, but you did build the wall, so thank you for that. A couple other quick announcements. For those who have purchased a Romeo UMC logo wearer over the past weeks, we're going to again encourage you to wear that logo wearer, if you wish, to church next Sunday. We're going to have another Spirit Wear Sunday, and this one has a special purpose. Channel 7 News has a Good Morning Detroit segment that they've been running. They're asking organizations, and such as us, churches and other community organizations, to record a video saying, Good Morning Detroit. And we thought it's a wonderful opportunity that we can participate, be a part of the community, so we're encouraging you to wear those logo wearers. Even if you don't, you're welcome to be in the video with us. But next Sunday after church, we're going to gather right down front here. It'll take, I promise, it won't take 5 minutes. We just got to do a quick little video. I think it's a great little way we can be an outreach. It's part of our 200th committee's plans for just spreading the awareness of what we're doing and getting ready for that celebration. So next Sunday, we're going to wear those logo wear things. Also, a reminder that this afternoon is our charge conference at 1:30. Our church business conference will be taking place. Again, all are welcome to attend. You do need to be a member of the church to vote on the voting items that will be taking place, but you are welcome to join us if you want to hear about the going-ons of our church. Also coming up on November 20th, we will be having, again, we did this last year, we're having a community Thanksgiving service that will be a group of churches from the area that will be coming together. It's going to take place over at St. John's Lutheran Church. It's off of Benjamin Street there. And that will be taking place on the 20th at 7 p.m., it was a great time to come together with the other community churches and to be thankful for this in this season. And there will be a community choir for any of our singing members who might be interested. They're going to just practice an hour beforehand at 6 p.m. You can meet them at the church there, and they're going to run through the song a few times. So that will be on November 20th. And then I also have just a note to remind you that the craft show and rummage sale is coming up. It's coming just a week from now, actually. And they need some help for both of those events with the kitchen things. The rummage sale needs some help as well. There are sign-up sheets downstairs. Our United Women in Faith, they do a lot to make this possible. They put a lot of effort in, and this is one of their biggest, if not the biggest, fundraiser they do throughout the year. It's how they support their missions and ministries that they're a part of. So if you can help them out, we'd appreciate it. And of course, come and check out those crafters the day of the show as well. And then the final one I got, as you go into Fellowship Hall here today, you'll notice Nancy's been hard at work, and the sharing tree tags are available. They're in the fellowship hall. You can pick those up. There were 60 that we filled last year. So guess what, guys? We got more this year. We have 80 tags down there this year, and I think we can do 80 tags. I don't doubt we can do 80 tags. But those are our people in our community, people who need a little help this Christmas season with enjoying the Christmas season. There's things listed from young children on to some slightly older children than that. And we thank you for your participation. If you have any questions about that, you can contact the office or get a hold of Nancy if you have any questions on how it works. But those tags are available down there, and we thank you for your participation in that. Those are the announcements I have to make, the things I had to share. And now I get to share that it's time to worship our God. And that is a joyous thing that we do each and every week. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing our opening hymn. It's number 381, Savior, Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Will you stand with me as we sing number 381? Thank you. Will you pray with me? Creator God, you who claims us as your own, we bring our full selves to you in worship today. Our happiness and our sorrow, our singing and our crying, our strengths and our failures, we carry it all. Teach us to trust that your faithfulness endures in all seasons and circumstances of our lives. Help us to know that all that we are is bound to you, and teach us to rest on your steadfast love as the source of our gratitude and joy, as we, your sheep, follow wherever you may lead. We offer our thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is coming to us from 1 Kings. It's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. This ends our first reading for today. And now I'd like to welcome any of the children or students or youth that are with us that'd like to come forward to join me on the steps for our time with children. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Pretty good? Oh, I hear another feet coming down the aisle. I hear them. There they are. Hi. Come on up. You can sit here next to me. All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are here today. I'm glad you get to come because today we are doing something pretty special. I mentioned it at the start of the church, but we look a little different up here today, don't we? We got a whole bunch of shoeboxes with us. They've been building up over the last few weeks, and this week we kind of have our final push. They're all been collected. And so a little later today, we have some people who are going to be taking them over to the church who's the pickup spot or the drop-off spot. And from that drop-off spot, they're going to keep traveling. And I thought I was going to try to explain how it all happens to you. But I can't do it because it's pretty cool what happens. So I actually found a video that kind of shows us what those shoeboxes are going to do. So can we go ahead and play that video for them? You guys got a screen here or one behind you, whichever one you can see.
Every shoebox gift starts its journey with individual love, and each item packed an expression of that love. From there, it finds its way to a drop-off location, with thousands of these centers located all over the world. Trucks then transfer the shoebox gift to processing centers, where they will be inspected and prayed for by volunteers. Then they're loaded onto containers, heading overseas, covering thousands of miles. At port, the shoebox gifts resume the journey on ground, some by road and some by trail, concluding their journey at a local church. Each shoebox gift is given to a child in need. Love has traveled many miles to bless that one child. Each shoebox gift is an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus with a child. The child is then invited to attend a follow-up discipleship program where they will grow in their faith. After graduating from the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program, children will be equipped to share the truth and love of the gospel to family and friends, multiplying the body of Christ all over the world.
I like that video. I like that it kind of gives us just a little reminder of why we're doing that. We're not just packing shoeboxes for the fun of it. I mean, it was pretty fun when I got to pack a few. I had fun doing it. But we're doing it for a purpose. We're doing it because we want to be able to share about Jesus with others, that these shoeboxes, every single one of them, represent a little boy or a little girl who's going to get a chance to learn about Jesus for themselves. Some of them may have never heard about Jesus before. It might be the first time they've ever even heard Jesus mentioned to them. And I think that's a really cool thing. And I think it's a cool thing we can all be a part of. And one of the things they said in that video that stood out to me, they said that we're going to take these all over. They're going to be taken to a spot and dropped off and picked up. But they also said one of the key steps as they're being inspected and looked at, that they're going to pray over these shoeboxes. And I know the people, that as they were packing them, I know people have been praying for the boys and girls that are going to receive them. And I thought here today that I'd like us to pray over all these boxes all together before we send them out. So I'm going to invite you guys. We're going to spread out across the front here, and I'm going to invite you. Let's put our hands on the shoeboxes. But, and here's the big but, we need to be careful. Because that's a big tower of shoeboxes. If you push on them, guess what? They might go tumbling down like the walls of Jericho. We don't want to do that, right? We're going to put our hands on the shoeboxes, and then the prayer is actually going to be on the screens. We're all going to pray together. I'm going to pray, and then there's going to be a response. So if you guys want to watch the screens as we're praying, you can respond as well with me. So will you guys help me spread out up front here? Let's spread out across the shoeboxes. Come on. Come on up. We can spread out all the way across. Some people can go down to the end there, Eddie. There you go. You guys can take these right here. Lainey, you're not going to be able to see over these. Here we go. You guys got some up there? Come on up, Shelly. Thank you. As you all know, Shelly and her amazing team are the ones who make this all possible. Shelly will be helping us transport them later. So we're going to say a word of prayer. We will have the words on the screen. Yep, you can put it right here. We're going to put our hands on the shoeboxes, okay? And the words will be on the screen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we pray for your blessing of these shoeboxes for the mission of Samaritan Purse's Operation Christmas Child. Loving God, we ask for your blessing. We pray for the children and their family whose lives will be impacted by these boxes and the contents we've packed with love. Loving God, we pray for your touch of compassion. We pray especially that through these gifts, the hearts of the children and their families will be open to your love and the message of your grace through Jesus Christ. Loving God, we pray for your grace to be made known. We pray for children and families who are suffering in the desperate circumstances of poverty, sickness, or war, that you will meet their physical needs. Providing God, we pray for your bounty. We pray that these shoeboxes will be useful tools to open doors for the proclamation of the gospel. Providing God, we pray for open doors. We pray for all who are participating in some way in the mission of Operation Christmas Child. Providing God, we pray that you would open the way for these shoeboxes to be delivered to people who need to know of your love for them. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. Come on over here to the steps real quick with me. Come on, Lane. Thank you guys for helping me say that prayer for them. And we're going to continue to keep them in prayer as they make their journey. And the one other thing I just wanted to let you know and let our church know, because it's just one of the amazing things about this church. So you guys saw that video. Obviously, we're going to take them and drop them off. They're going to put them into boxes. They're going to put them in trucks. They're going to go. They're going to get shipped. They're going to be going all over the place. All that costs money, right? Those things don't just happen for free. And it's one of those things that's a blessing to my soul. This week we had somebody who came in who wanted to make sure that shipping could happen. And so we had somebody who came in and they covered the cost of every box, at least every box that we have here, being shipped. And I know some of them already paid for it because some of the people, other people had made those offerings, which is awesome. But all that money is going to go to shipping these boxes, to making sure they make it around the world. And I just think that's an awesome testimony to this church, to these people, that this mission, that it's important to us and that we're a part of it. And so I thank you guys for being a part of it. And I know you're going to go back to Odyssey and have some learning back there. But after church today, we are going to be carrying the shoeboxes downstairs. So after church, before you go and get your snacks, if you want to come and help, we're going to start loading up the elevator and taking them down to the cars. So if you guys want to help with that part of the transport, we'd love to have your help after service today, all right? And that goes for all you out there too, anyone who wants to help. We got a lot of shoeboxes to move. We'll get the official count from Shelly. We set a goal. She's giving me the hand signs. And if I read it right, those hands just said 247. You know what our goal was? Our goal was 235, right? That means we are past our goal again. Each year we keep on going past that goal. So 247 is going to my memory bank. And guess what happens next October, guys? New goal. You got it, Gary. Well, I thank you guys for coming up. The time we went to Ice Cream and got Dairy Queen. You are right. We have done that. We know what our goals are. I say thank you to all of you for this amazing thing. Thank you to Shelly for leading it for us as always. It is a wonderful blessing we're a part of. And I'm going to let you guys head back with I think we have Ms. Hausler and there. Joe's going back with you today. You guys have fun back there at Odyssey, and we'll see you after church, all right? All right, guys, thank you so much. Here you go. There you go. This is a joy we celebrate, a visible one that is before us here today, one that we can lift up and be thankful for. And I have several others that I wanted to share with us here today. The first being that this weekend, we recognize the importance of this weekend. There are events happening, and it is Veterans Day this weekend. So we pause and take a moment just to say thank you to all the veterans that have served. We have many here in our midst, many who have served, and I know you don't like to be put on the spot, but I'm going to ask you to. Would you please stand so we can recognize it? If you served, if you are a veteran, would you stand so we can recognize you today? Church. We thank you all for your service, and I know as we recognize and celebrate our veterans, we also continue to lift up those who are serving in places of conflict, those who are serving to keep our freedoms available to us, to keep us free that we can be here to worship. We offer our thanks to all who have and are serving in our armed forces. And I also wanted to just highlight, we have some flowers that were brought in today. These are brought by Ardith Becker in memory of George Becker and by Paul and Cindy Schaefer in memory of their daughter, Allie Schaefer Fisk. And we thank you for continuing to bless our place of worship, bless us with these beautiful flowers. So we thank you for that. And I received a call from Marilyn Bracey this week. She's asking for prayers for her niece, Nancy Mangosh. She's in Troy, Beaumont, battling cancer. She's had quite a struggle. It's been a long battle for Nancy. And they're just asking for a miracle, is what Marilyn said at this point, that there's a lot of challenges ahead for her. So please keep Nancy and all her loved ones in your prayers as she's battling cancer. I also received a note here this morning that this week, Frank is going to be going in and having a pacemaker replaced tomorrow morning at Troy Beaumont. It's an outpatient procedure, but our prayers will be with Frank as he goes in to have that pacemaker done, and we'll be glad to hear a good report of everything ticking away as it should be next week. All right, Frank? And I also received a phone call this week from Dave Locke. Dave Locke is Eileen Locke's son, and he was calling to let me know that his mom is not long for this world at this point. She's kind of turned here in the last several days, and they're making sure she's comfortable, making sure the family can come and spend some time with her, but she is in those final days. He just asked that we continue to keep her in prayer. She says this church has always been an important part of her lives. She appreciates those prayers, the calls, the cards, the visits, all those things, but please keep the Locke family in your prayers in the days ahead. And then I had one last one that came in here from Linda Zimmerman watching with us online. She is asking prayers for a friend, Don Shaw. He's battling cancer, and he's not responding to the therapy at this point. He's in a lot of pain, and so she's just asking that we pray for comfort and strength for Don during this time, so we lift up Don as well. And those were the ones that I had to share, the ones that I had to lift up. Nathan and Janet have the microphones. If you would like to share with us, please just raise a hand where you're at, and we'll be glad to bring one to you.
I have a joy. It's Gail's joy.
Thank
Go ahead,
you.
Pastor.
No, Nathan, I missed it, so thank you. We have a joy to share with Gail. Two joys to share with Gail, actually. Gail had eye surgery, and she's doing well from that. But then this morning also happens to be her birthday. And if we have a birthday on Sunday, we know what we got to do for Gail. So, Myung, would you help us out?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gals. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Gail. I hope you have a great day here today. Are there others who would like to share with us this morning?
I'd like to say a joy that Ned is here and he'd like to say something.
Amen.
So it's a blessing to have you with us.
I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers and their thoughts while I've been recovering. I'm still recovering, but I'm making it, and I thank again everybody.
We celebrate We celebrate the joy that it is that you're back with us here, Ned. And we continue to keep you in our prayers for continued healing and strength as you do your therapy and have that pain go away. We are glad to have you with us. Are there others here today? We continue to keep Beth in our prayers as well. Thank you, Nathan. Absolutely. Well, then, let us take these that we've heard. We've heard joys and we've heard concerns and needs. Let us take a moment, as we always do, to lift those we've heard as well as those that we've brought before our God in silent prayer. Merciful God, we confess that there are times, maybe too often times, we neglect to acknowledge you as God in our lives. We live like we have complete control over our own future. We forget that you created us and that we are the sheep of your pasture. We separate ourselves from the flock. We abandon our bonds with one another as we try to do it all on our own. Too often we've traded gratitude for individualism and thanksgiving for self-reliance. Forgive us, O God, we pray. Free us to live as your grateful people. People who recognize, people who acknowledge, and most importantly, people who share the blessings that have been shared with us. Lord, in spite of our missteps, in spite of our choices, we again today receive this good news, the good news that your steadfast love endures forever. A reminder that while we were yet sinners, you made a way for us to return to you, made a way for us to return to one another. By God's grace, we are forgiven. We are a reconciled people. We offer our thanks and praise. We offer our very selves as we lift up those who are in need, as we try to meet their needs, as we try to be the people you have called us to be. We offer our thanks to you, O Heavenly Father. And as we do so, we pray together as God's people, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand once again as you're able and join me for our next hymn. It's number 102. Now thank we all our God. Will you sing hymn number 102 with me? Thank you. may please be seated. Our second scripture reading for today is coming to us from the Psalms. We're going to hear Psalm 100, except for I'm skipping ahead and the slides caught me. It's not time to get to the Psalm yet. We're going to do our offering first, our celebration of our loving the world through our giving. I do offer my thanks to all of you for the visible display that is before us today, and also for the ones that we don't see, all those things that are done, all the gifts that are brought, the offerings that are brought to our church to make it possible for us to be in mission. Thank you for your continued faithfulness. I remind us we have the offering box behind the organ. If you wish to drop an offering here today, you can also do our online giving at romeoumc.com. Let us take a moment to offer our thanks for this collection today. Holy Shepherd of all generations, we bring our gifts this morning. We bring them with thanksgiving and with praise. We present these tithes and offerings not from hearts of obligation or debt, but with the confidence and joy that through your love made incarnate in your Son Jesus, you forever removed our debt. Our joy and our gratitude are hard to contain. We pray you use our gifts, you use our very lives to do your work of compassion and mercy and redemption. Let that message continue to spread all across this earth. For we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Now, is it time for the scripture, guys? Okay, they're telling me yes in the back. It's our second scripture reading, which is from the Psalms. It's Psalm 100. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I heard it a couple times this morning as people came in the doors as they were congregating before service. We've officially entered that time of year. The trees are looking a little more bare. You might still have a couple that are clinging to those leaves, but they're starting to come down in force, aren't they? After last week's time change, it's darker a lot earlier in the evening. Lainey, our 2-year-old, asked us this week, is it night-night time? I said, no, it's not even dinner time yet. It's that time of year. The cooler temperatures, they remind us that we're in the thick of fall. The calendar tells us we're into the middle of November here. And if there's one other thing that can be guaranteed during this time of year, during this season, just as much as those items I just listed, it is the church's annual stewardship campaign. It happens this time of year without fail. You could set your calendars by it, I guarantee it. Because as we approach the end of the year, as budgets are being set for the year to come, the month of November sees that stewardship campaign. It comes into focus. And I can tell you, in the week to come, you will receive a letter from the church. It will hopefully offer a word of thanks, a reminder of some of the work we've done in the past year, an appreciation of that giving of the past year. And it will also include those pledge cards that, if you've been around for any time, you're familiar with. They're the pledge cards that we send out each year, and it will invite you to make a commitment, to make a pledge to your giving to the church. And I encourage you to consider that pledge card, to spend some time thinking about it, talking with family, talking amongst yourself, looking at your own budget, to pray over it, and consider how you might be able to commit to giving in the week, in the year to come, how you might be able to support our church, but most importantly, how you might be able to continue to support God's mission across this planet. And you're encouraged to send those cards back, or we'll have a basket here for you to bring them back in. And in 2 weeks from today, on November 26th, we will offer a prayer. We will commit those pledges to God as we celebrate that commitment to our giving. We'll dedicate them to seeing God's will be done. And I'll be honest, this week as I was thinking about this, I knew this was coming up, of course. I was curious about this tradition of the church, the stewardship campaign. I was curious, when did it start? What were the original intentions? Why do we still do it today? And as I started researching, I was honestly surprised because It went back much further than I actually expected that it would. Because the first time the stewardship campaign came into play was in the late 19th century, and it was among the Protestant leaders right here in North America. Churches had begun to pop up all across this new land, but they found they needed to have ways of supporting their missions, of supporting being the church. So they started to look for ways to gather those funds. And that's where the phrase stewardship campaign came from. It was in those late 1800s. It was a way to support the work of the church and intentionally gather funds for that mission. And some of those early stewardship campaigns, as I looked, they looked a little different than ours does here in 2023, because some of those early methods for the stewardship campaign, they included a few different things. They included selling pew spaces for people, or at least renting pew spaces so you knew you had a seat when you came into church each Sunday. There were also subscription lists that started to be formed. You had to pay to be on the list to be able to find out what was going to be happening at the church. If you wanted to hear the announcements, like I do each Sunday, you had to pay to be on that list. There were church suppers. Okay, well, that's one we haven't gotten rid of. Let's face it, we like to eat. But there were also church socials that were held. There were black tie affairs. Everyone got dressed up in their very best and came and made a commitment to their giving through those meals. They also held raffles and lotteries, raffling off livestock, lotteries of fruits and vegetables that were brought in. They did all kinds of different things as parts of their stewardship campaigns. They looked a bit different than us sending those pledge cards out today. But as I continued to read, as I continued to do that research, there was one thing that really stood out to me. Because every time I read every different article, every different scholar that had written on it, they all came back to one thing. The purpose of all those early campaigns, the reason and focus that stewardship has had over the years, why it's a regular part of our church year, it's the very same reason we still do it today, I believe. It was so that the church could continue to find ways to be a blessing to the world around them. It was so that people had an opportunity to share their generosity with others, share their abundance with others. It was a chance to reflect on the abundance of blessings we've had poured into our lives, all those that have been provided by our Lord and Savior. That is why we focus on stewardship in this month of November. And throughout the history of stewardship campaigns, it is a reminder in our acts of selfless giving, those selfless acts that we all have been a part of. Giving of our financial resources, to be sure, but also of our physical abilities, of the time and energy we have, of all those resources that we can be a blessing by giving them to others. And as we give those blessings to others, we also recognize that we receive a blessing as well. There's something that feels good about helping others. Is there not? Am I wrong? It's not just me, is it? There is something we receive in being those generous people God calls us to be. It is God's will, God's intention for us to live in community together, to serve one another, to bless one another, and in return receive the blessing found in being God's generous people. And it was with those thoughts in mind that I was doing my personal devotion. It's usually not tied to anything that we're doing in church specifically. It doesn't follow the same calendar I'm following. But as I was reading it this week, the verse we started, our first scripture reading from today, from 1 Kings, was a part of that devotion. And that verse, it comes from the story of Elijah confronting King Ahab and his queen Jezebel. Together they had murdered God's prophets. They had led the people astray. They'd led the people away from God. They'd all done evil in God's eyes. And in this verse that we heard, Elijah is challenging God's people. He is challenging the people of Israel, people who have followed their wicked king and queen away from God. In this verse we heard from 1 Kings 18, it's the one that stayed with me this week. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Elijah's rapidly approaching the end of his rope in this scripture. He doesn't understand these people any longer. He doesn't understand how the Israelites have fallen so far, how they've turned their back on the Lord, how they've turned their back on the one who has time and again provided and proved his faithfulness to them. Time and again, God has rescued them from themselves. And he lays down this challenge. the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. There is no room for flopping back and forth, Elijah is telling them. Make the choice. It doesn't go with the season's change. It doesn't go with your whims of your heart. Make the commitment. If the Lord is God, follow him. Yet we're told the people remained silent. My friends, this stuck with me because it made me wonder. If Elijah stood before us today, if Elijah stood before the Christian church of 2023 as a whole across this world, what would his response be? Would it be similar to the way he felt standing on that mountain all those years ago, standing before the people of Israel? Would he be asking, what God are you going to choose to serve? Are we going to follow the Baals of our time, the gods of our own making, the gods of money and power and influence, the gods that the world tells us are important? Are we going to choose to follow the Lord, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer? If the Lord is God, follow him. If you know your Bible stories, if you remember this story, you know how this went as it played out. It didn't go well for those followers of Baal. Elijah staked his claim. Elijah drew that line in the sand. He knew the score. He knew what God was capable of. And he tried his hardest to remind the people who it was that they were called to serve. So if we're going to heed Elijah's words, if we're going to heed his warning all these years later, then we too are asked that same question. What God are we choosing to follow? We're not being told to speak it with our lips, not to proclaim it when it's convenient and then hide it away the rest of the time. But to truly follow God is a choice we're called to make, a choice to embrace God's will and his instructions for us in our lives. So that made me wonder, when that question comes up, when we start to ask, how do we respond to the needs in our world? I feel like it's a question that's asked often these days. We see plenty of brokenness in our world, plenty of hurt, plenty of devastation happening all around our world. So it makes me wonder, what do the scriptures tell us? Do we recognize what the scriptures tell us about those situations? Luke 3 verse 11 tells us, in reply, Jesus, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. 1 John chapter 3, 17 says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hebrews 13, verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. My friends, I'm just getting going. We could spend quite a while. I could stand up here and read you scriptures. I could read you the whole book, probably, if I really wanted to. God didn't confuse, didn't leave it up to interpretation. God made it pretty clear here what the expectation is. We have been given much. Let's face it, we have been given so, so much as we sit here today. So much more than we could possibly deserve. And in turn, God has asked simply that we go and do likewise, that we give to others who are in need, that we graciously and generously give to those who are less fortunate, that we give without regard for what we will receive back, that we be God's people. And I do believe it's when we embrace this calling to be good stewards that we begin to realize that being a blessing to others, it means so much to us as well, that serving and loving and sacrificing for the sake of others, it is a blessing for us as well. It's when we embrace our calling as God's people that we are able to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, that we can take our place as a sheep of his flock. We are able to give thanks to God, to bless his name as we are blessing others, as we are receiving the blessing he has been in our lives and continues to be in our lives. And you know, often throughout the week, as I'm preparing a sermon, I start to form my plans early in the week, and I start looking for that killer illustration, the photo or video, the song, whatever it might be that I might be able to use that'll stop and just bring that message on home. I look for that every week. Well, this week I wasn't exactly looking for it, yet that illustration, it came through loud and clear. As some of you are aware, since the weather has turned on us, turned cooler here, we've recently been having a little trouble keeping a wing of the education hall warm. Some of those meeting rooms and classrooms, the Odyssey kids were a little chilly the last couple Sundays. If you came up the stairs this morning, you might have noticed that the ceiling grid above your head at the top of the stairs is open, so the attic access is available. Well, that's because the furnace for one half of that building is not running or not working correctly. And after some investigation, after a visit from the technician this past week, it was confirmed that one of those two rooftop units, it's on its last legs. It's at the end of its useful life. The tech said he'd take the info back to his boss, would be in touch about our repair or replacement options, what we could do. I received a phone call on Tuesday morning. It's one of those phone calls that it blows me away every time it happens, and it happens time and again. I don't know why. Why I feel this way, why I react this way. But this is my reaction then, too. You can ask Shelly. It was Hutchins Mechanical calling us back. They were the technicians that were out. They were calling with the options for our furnace. For those who are unaware, Hutchinson Mechanical is owned and operated by Carol and Ed Verhage, members of our church here, who work alongside a few family members, Larry, who was calling me, and as well as son-in-law Dave Zaglin, who's here with us today as well. And Larry shared with me that they'd gotten together that morning, and they talked. And they decided they wanted to donate the materials and labor it would take to replace that rooftop furnace unit for the church. To be clear, this is not a furnace we have in our house at home. If you want to see it, I'll take you up there to the roof. It's kind of cool. But it's a monster of a unit. There's going to be a crane coming into our parking lot to get this thing, get that one off and get the new one on. This is a unit to the tune of $28,000 that is being donated to the church. My friends, this is a most generous offer, a most generous donation being made. And I'll be honest, it took me a moment. I think Larry might have thought the phone disconnected because I didn't have words to say as he said this to me on Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, I heard God's voice. And it sounded an awful lot like Larry in that moment. But I heard God speaking through him. God speaking to all of us. It was a direct reflection of the generosity that is present in this world. A direct reflection of the generosity that is present in this church among our members. It's a reflection of God's love being shared with the world. And I am thankful to be a part of it, to witness it each and every day. To those who have been given much, much is expected. We have been given much. Make no mistake about it. So my hope is that we can continue to embrace God's call on our life, God's call as his chosen people, that we can continue to bless and give and serve, to give sacrificially to others. Let us embrace the words that we heard from Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So let's all stand, if you're able, for our final song, Worthy of It All.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, "You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory." All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and say, "You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory." Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
God has called, God has chosen you to be witnesses to hope and peace in God's world. Go in peace. Go seeking the same healing, same comfort, same strength for yourself that you grant to others. Share the message, share the hope, share blessings with the world. Go with God's blessing to serve the Lord your God in all that you do. Go in God's peace. Amen.